Committee's interim report quotes specific emails where the White House and State Department insisted on removing all references to the terrorist attack to protect the State Department from criticism for providing inadequate security.
Hillary Clinton says that why does it matter if you remember several months ago another hearing on the Hill, as we are in the middle of a weekend and we'll be talking about on the political swirl what happened with the six-hour testimony on Benghazi and the three whistleblowers. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great country. And I'll tell you, it doesn't matter where you are on the political spectrum. You have to say that Greg Hicks, I think, the career State Department official who got the call from Ambassador Stevens, help, help, there's an assault. We're in the middle of an assault. You have to believe that this guy's telling the truth. What does he have to gain in all of this? And so what I wonder is, have we heard the last of Benghazi? Because you have the Democrats saying, look, this is just political nonsense. Hillary Clinton had it right a couple of months ago when she said, why are we talking about this? It's awful that the ambassador was killed and the three others, but talking about talking points makes no sense. So here's the upshot of it and why I bring it up at the top. The House Oversight and Government Reform Committee Chair Daryl Issa is a guy who won't let go when he thinks he has something. He is vowed. He is vowed after what just happened to not stop investigating. He says the hearing is closed, but what Thompson, Hicks, and Nordstrom had to say, the three whistleblowers, will ripple through the hallways. And whether or not they'll get the kind of ammunition they need to kill Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential bid, we don't know that. But what did happen is some of these little nuggets that came out as a result the other day of the testimony, the six-hour testimony, and it was really not conspiracy-based. It was very compelling, especially, like I say, Greg Hicks, and the reason why is because of where he was positioned at the time. He's the former deputy chief of mission in Tripoli. And he gave that step-by-step account that they've got at the State Department of what started as just a routine day in Libya and ended with the first killing of a U.S. ambassador in three decades. He was choked up with emotion because he knew Chris Stevens well and knew he was a respected veteran diplomat and loved doing what he was doing. Hicks says Libya's prime minister called and said, I think it's the saddest phone call I've ever had in my life. He told me that Ambassador Stevens had passed away. I telephoned Washington immediately. He says that he informed them of everything he knew, telling everything that had happened that he knew, including the fact that he got the call about the assault, that they were under assault, so there was no doubt that that's what was happening there. It wasn't some protest that went wild. It was exactly that, that men, as soon as the men stormed the compound, Stevens said Greg were under attack. Hicks said American officials in Libya concluded from an unspecified Twitter feed that Al-Qaeda-affiliated Islamist extremists were carrying out the attack. He confirmed that on the ground, he confirmed that officials on the ground never believed the attack grew out of a demonstration that was never even discussed. So the problem with Hicks was, and the reason why he could have been a victim easily of retaliation, is the fact that he saw the UN Ambassador Susan Rice on the Sunday news shows just a handful of days after the attack, and she linked it to the demonstrators that were upset about the video that denigrated the Prophet Muhammad. He said he was stunned, his jaw dropped. We talked about it on a previous show. We mentioned that. And he said he was embarrassed by what happened. And the Libyan president, Mohamed Magarif, wouldn't allow the FBI to come into the country, and this is not politics, this is fact, for 17 days to investigate what had happened at the compound. Because he said that the effect of saying that the attack was the work of terrorists, and then, of course, talking about these protests, and that's what it was, humiliated him. So there wasn't the access they should have gotten immediately. They were trapped. Stevens was trapped, and somehow that was an inside job. They knew that they were exposed, and it was easy to go after. It was easy to go after them and make a statement on an important day, on 9/11, and in a place where we had certainly had lots of interest, obviously, in thinking of what had happened in Libya. So Hicks said that a State Department commissioned independent investigation into the tragedy by Tom Pickering and retired Admiral Mike Mullen had failed to hold any of the senior people responsible, and pointedly naming Patrick Kennedy, Undersecretary for Management, as someone who had some responsibility for poor security at the site. But then that all just gets pushed out. Now, the rebuttal to this for a lot of the Democrats were that that this is irresponsible allegations and that it's a high-level conspiracy that are grouping top military officers who have testified that the Pentagon did everything it could and questioning the motives of people who want to use their statements for political purposes. So, it was 6 hours. It was a very emotional conversation and testimony, thorny questions, anything you can imagine. But here's my question. Now it's been a few days. The White House says Republicans have waged an aggressive media campaign over the past week. This effort last week to turn a pro forma signature on a cable into a scandal has been laughed out of the room because it doesn't hold water. So do you think Benghazi just goes away and who cares, as Hillary Clinton said? Who cares? Who cares about the talking points? It's about the dead people. It's awful. And we have to make sure that that doesn't happen again. Or should the flap continue? I mean, Susan Rice, there was so much hammering of the story. She had to withdraw her name from consideration as the Secretary of State. And the White House said it was an obsession over talking points. You think it's an obsession over talking points? I'll tell you, if I was one of the families, I would say keep on talking. It's not about conspiracy. It's about let's have some answers. Someone needs to really answer for this, for goodness sake. Do we still have a government made up of we, the people? I'm just saying that this is just too bad that you can't have the Republicans and the Democrats come together and really find the facts and let the chips fall down on the table where they may. And I think if they fell down and where they may, there would be a few people that would have some serious answering to do, and they certainly wouldn't be considered for higher political office. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. Do you know the number one most valuable item in a crisis? Some people think the answer is gold. Others think it's a gun. But the correct answer will shock you. I just created a free video at crisis123.com that reveals a surprising item that is more valuable than gold in a crisis. 97% of Americans don't have this one critical item. In fact, they haven't even given it a thought. And the sad truth is that you may not survive without it when a real crisis hits and a starving mob is right outside your door. What I have to tell you could literally make the difference between life and death for you and your family. Watch my video at crisis123.com to discover the number one most valuable item in a crisis. You'll be shocked. See the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go watch my video now at crisis123.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's crisis123.com.
That really is the buzz in everyone's backyard, in mine and in yours, I'm certain of. It's about the Ohio suspect. $8 million bail, by the way. $2 million for each woman. There were three kidnapped, and he's charged with kidnapping and of course, sexual abuse and rape. And now they're looking at the whole murder thing. During his interrogation with police, Ariel Castro, who's charged with all of that I just mentioned, said he couldn't control his impulses. He was a sex addict. That was it. That's the deal. That's my excuse. I'm a sex addict. So his mother is in pure shock and says her son is sick and she apologized to the victims. The neighborhood's just a mess as people try to deal with, did we see anything? Could we have seen anything? And then there's this other side, as I mentioned, the murder deal. Fetus homicide, because one of the three women, remember the one that was just a little bit older, Michelle Knight, they're saying that five times he forced her, pinched her stomach, did whatever he could, forced her to miscarry five times over the course of the 10, 11 years that she was under his captivity, because he was chaining them up and all that other sort of stuff. So now what also has happened is the reunion of the girls. While all of this is going on, all of that's going on, this Ohio, you can charge someone with murder for killing an unborn baby. And this, of course, now starts the whole abortion issue in some cases. But that leaves the prosecutor with some room for the death penalty. While all of this is happening, you have the women, now women, reuniting with their families, and the families are talking, they're pretty good about talking as to what that's like to make the transition, and good for them, because you can only imagine that everybody's trying to topple each other to get the story on what's happening next and all that kind of stuff. And the I thought one of the interesting things was Nancy Ruiz, who talked about how exciting it was and to be reunited and what it meant to her family.
I saw all three of them together. They didn't want to get separated at that point yet. I'm still in a dream, to be honest. I pinch myself every morning, and it is awesome.
She, by the way, is Gina De Jesus' mother, and she said, as you heard there, that she just cannot believe that this happened, that this is true, that her daughter is back. And so she's granting interviews because she knows everybody wants to talk to her. She said how the crowd of spectators were so supportive, and people have been absolutely amazing, and what it was like to hold her again. She said they just held on to each other, and they were hugging and crying and all that other sort of stuff. And she says, what an incredible Mother's Day present this is for me. And it's a great story. It's a great story of these two being reunited, because Amanda Berry didn't have that. Her mother her mother died during that time period when she was being held in the basement somewhere. So at least for Gina De Jesus, she had the opportunity to see her mother again. You just can't even imagine. You can't fathom what that would be like. And I've said this already so many times, but that 10-year period and how many things change and what happens to your hope and what, you know, what are you thinking when you go to bed at night? Geez, I need to keep looking. I need to do more. I need to, you know, what are you thinking about when you hit the pillow? Not in the beginning, because in the beginning there's that pure panic, but as 1 year goes by and another calendar year goes by and another calendar year goes by, and then you read and hear about what everybody says about missing persons. And so now that this has given hope to some people that have missing children, and, you know, I've talked about this already, but is this a positive thing, or does this unfortunately fan the flames of a fantasy and get people into a situation where they really feel like there's a chance? Gosh, there's just a chance. I can't give up hope. And I think there's going to be pressure on some of these cop shops to open cold cases and to go back and look at things when somebody vanishes without a trace, especially, like I said, the kids. You know, it starts with the kids and the adults from there. But there are people that run away. There are abusive situations that they get away from and all that sort of thing. But I think it also has created something completely different in the category of, well, okay, we've seen now a few of these, J.C. Dugard, Elizabeth Smart. Now you have these three women. So isn't it possible that there are others out there who had somebody nab them, throw them in a van, a car, or whatever, and take off, and maybe we'll get lucky and we'll be able to find them? But the timing as far as the Mother's Day thing in that situation is really, really terrific for that family anyway. And the other families are rallying around the other two as well. And more details are starting to come out. And the prosecutor is getting his ducks in a row, so to speak, as fast as possible. I often zigzag in a couple of different directions because there's so much carryover to what we talk about on this show. And for a long time, people would call up and they would say, well, you know what, you can't give tickets for texting because that's too big brotherish. And I think you have to rely on people to not do that. But texting while driving, this has just come out again, there's more statistics, is now surpassing, especially for teenagers. And that's what's so scary. Think about it. New drivers, they're texting and talking and everything else. And you're on the roadways. Plus, they are. They're your kids. So they're saying the reality is with texting, where it's really bad is with anybody who's a teenager. And it's the leading cause of deaths among teens. 3,000 die every year from texting while they're in the car and they're the person behind the wheel. That's compared to about 2,700 for driving under the influence. And these are statistics that come from the Cohen Children's Medical Center in New Hyde Park, New York. You know, there's a big national ad campaign. You probably have seen it if you plopped your feet up and you are watching something on the tube, where they're talking about the dangers, and they have some pretty stunning commercials where people are maimed, and they're talking about what they text and whatever. Pretty powerful, actually. 50% of students text while driving, and half of high school kids who drive say they text behind the wheel. Wow. So they might not be drinking, but they're carrying their phones and they're texting 7 days a week. That makes sense for the statistics that they dug up. 57% of boys, even broke it down gender-wise, 57% of boys say they text. 59% say they text while driving in states they don't, where they don't have texting laws, so they even know what those states are. I mean, people are texting and driving all the time. That's not a shock, right, folks? You're out there driving. I don't care if you live in a small town or a bigger area. You see it. Just watch. Look around you, and you'll see people looking down and see what they're doing. And it's that split second where something happens and it's too late. So I have mixed feelings about this whole, first of all, texting, of course. I don't think anyone should text. But do we want to try to police that? I think it's hard to police that. You'd have to really, sure, if there's an accident, and then you can go back and look at the text and all that. But purely pull someone over to warn them or give them a ticket for texting is a lot harder to do. But the statistics are definitely there. If you're one of those people, if you're commuting and you're commuting or driving around and your communication is by text while you're driving, you're 23 times more likely to crash. 23 times more likely. That's a scary statistic. I mean, we're already dealing with a zillion other things that are distracting us, let alone texting. I don't get it. I have an iPhone, and I was so reluctant to get that thing in the first place, but I have an iPhone and then the touch screen. If I sat there, if I even did an experiment, they put me and had cones up. Maybe we'll try to do that. They had cones, and we'll do it with my local police. They'd probably do that for me. And if you're driving along and you're just trying to not hit the cones and you're texting, you're honestly texting, I just don't see there's any way that you're not taking some cones out. How are you looking down and controlling where you're going at the same time, especially if it's a busy, crowded lane that you're on? I think it is incredibly deadly. Stay with us. We're talking to a medium next.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135 and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. the original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Well, coming up this weekend, of course, is Mother's Day, but there's many of us who have a challenge where we've recently had a mother pass away. As all of you know, my mother passed away this past January, and I have met a lot of people who have gone through the same thing recently, or maybe it's been a couple of years, and so Mother's Day always has kind of a weird feeling for people that are in, you know, that stage of life where they've lost somebody. And I thought it'd be interesting to talk to Joe Higgins. He's a medium, and boy, the guy has great credentials. He's done it full-time for the past 15 years. But Joe, first of all, welcome to the show. And you say you knew you had this ability since you were really a kid, right?
Hey, Kate, thanks for having me on. Yeah, when I was a young child, I was always sensitive to things that were around me, even though I didn't know what was going on. So I guess I was born with it.
Did people encourage you to, like, develop that and just roll with it, or did people kind of, you know, brush you off as you were moving along?
Well, I think, you know, back in the day, people never really talked about it back then. I think over the last 10, 15 years with the television shows and, you know, the radio interviews like you're doing and stuff, people are much more open about it now. But when I was a kid, no one talked about it. I never really told anyone about it until I probably went to high school and started telling some of my friends.
Mm-hmm. Good for you for starting to tell them and then doing it. So for the past 15 years, what's it been like? I mean, do you see when you're helping people, you know, whether it's on a missing persons case, cold cases, murder investigations, I mean, all kinds of things you've worked with clients. What makes you feel the best about what you're doing, that you know when someone's made a connection? Is that the sort of aha moment for you?
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes for some people it can just be like one or two little things that they know that their loved one is still around, and that's it. That's all they need. And some people, some of the readings are kind of funny. Some people want to know where mom put the silver and, you know, dad hit his golf club or something. And, you know, they're in there to kind of get information, which is kind of fun. But a lot of times it's the messages that come through about enjoying our lives and to live life without any regrets, and that they're still around us for celebrations. So like people that get married, they have children, and sometimes they've lost their parents before that happens. The parents are still there for these celebrations. And that's the stuff that really hits me.
Yeah, boy, I bet. You say there's ways to, you know, you could tell the audience, because some people are always looking for this or trying to look for it. How can you recognize and understand some of the signs of the people who have passed, things that they're trying to pass on to us? How can you recognize those?
Well, the first thing is they usually want to come through and give a sign to let everyone know that they've made it and life continues and that they're still in their lives. So they like to pick familiar things that someone might recognize. And the strongest ones, there's like 20 or 30 or 40 different signs, but the main ones are usually they'll come to you in your dreams because it's easy for them to contact us this way. Other ones might be music, like favorite songs, especially smells or scents. Like when my father comes through, I smell like cigar smoke, so I know when he's around. A lot of people smell like flowers, a particular flower or rose if their mother's around. When my mom's around, I smell fresh brewed coffee. People find coins, birds. But a lot of times, a lot of people can connect really with the smells, the scents, and the, certain music and sounds and things like that. Those are the easiest way.
Yeah, and there's like 20 or 40 of them. You said sometimes, could it be a personal item sometimes, something that sort of falls out of thin air seemingly? I've heard stories like that.
Absolutely, because what they want to do is they want to pick something that's familiar to you so that you'll make the connection. Like, let's say some guy's dad was a NASCAR fan, and, he just loved racing and stuff like that. Well, the dad's not going to send him a message that's connected to baseball if he never watched baseball. You know, he's going to pick something probably in the automotive thing that's connected to that because it's easy, it's familiar, and it's more likely for the message to be recognized.
Yeah. Is there something people that are listening can do? I mean, how can they try to connect with them any time of year? Obviously, you understand it. You're sensitive to this. You have that gift. So you describe your father, you describe your mother knowing the sense and that kind of stuff. But somebody else that's listening, is there some way they can try to connect with them?
Yeah, the first thing is to ask for a sign. Because by asking, what you're actually doing is you're inviting them in. Because they don't want to disrupt your life. They want you to live your life, by whatever means you want. But when you invite them in, that it's just like an invitation. So then they're going to try. If you're ready. Some people are not ready for a sign because of religious purposes or they still might be distraught. And the loved one does not want to interfere or cause more harm. But usually if you ask for it, then they'll try to come through and give you one. But the main thing with that is when you ask, don't ask with any expectations. Don't say, like, listen, Mom, I want to hear from you, but not next weekend because we're going to Disney World and I'm working overtime. You know, I've had people say that. And it's like, oh, my God. So don't put any expectations on it. Just let it out, and they'll find the right way at the right time for that to come through.
Yeah. In the 15 years that you've done this, did you ever have a favorite case or a favorite moment or somebody that you work with, something that happened, and I'm sure you have tons of them.
Actually, I've had two. One was, it's actually in my book, Hello, Anyone Home. It was a boy who had lost, he was in his 20s, I call him a boy, but he had lost his dad when he was young, in his early 20s, and I think he was probably about 27, 28 when he got a reading. And the father came through, and we got some evidential information about certain things the father likes. We knew it was, dad was around and stuff. And then at the end, the father showed me, he jumped into a big giant, red Cadillac convertible with the big wings on it, turned around and drove off into the sunset. And I said to the guy, I said, wow, your dad's got a pretty cool exit. Instead of riding off on a horse into the sunset, he's riding off on this beautiful antique car. And then the boy said to me, well, that was my dad's car. He loved antique cars and he had an old red, convertible Cadillac, which I thought was really cool.
Mm.
But then the next thing was the father came back and he showed me walking down a path with his son holding his hand. And they were walking down the path and the father was like in his 40s and the son was like in his early 20s. And as they moved down, the son got older and he got married and he was all of a sudden in his like 30s. And then the son was like in his 40s. And then he was getting ready to turn 50. And the father, as the father was walking down, the father started getting older. And then after a couple of minutes, the boy was actually turning 65, and they showed like a retirement party type thing. And I look over, and the father's still walking with him, but this time the father's got a cane, and he's bent over. And it was to show that his father was going to be with him through all his celebrations and all his life, starting when he was 20 years old until he's an elderly gentleman himself. And
wow.
I thought that was so, so profound. And actually, I was crying. I was crying when that came through, and the guy was crying, and it was just very, very strong to show that they'll always be there.
Right. Wow, that's terrific. And you said there was another one, too, that stood out to you.
Yeah, another one was, it was very poignant. A lady came, and right at the beginning, a woman came through and said, I need to say something, I need to talk. And so I described the lady to this woman I was with, and she said, no, I don't recognize her. I said, okay, fine, then we'll just send her some love, and, you know, we'll move on, because sometimes, you know, you will get some jumpers that want to jump in just to say hi. A couple minutes later, this lady woman came back and says, no, I have to say something. And so I said, this lady's back, and she wants to talk to you. And she says, but no, I don't recognize her. All right, fine. A few minutes later, she comes back, and she says, no, I have to talk to her. So at that point, I stopped the whole reading because I knew something was going on. And I turned to the lady. I said, she has to talk to you. I said, what's going on here? And the lady said to me, I know exactly who that is. That's my mother. And I was like, wow. And so the mother came through and said, I have to talk to you, and I have to tell you I'm sorry. And it turns out that the mother had abused the woman when she was a child.
Oh, wow.
And she recognized her at the beginning, but she didn't want to come through, didn't want to talk to her. And then she said, the lady that was alive said, I understand, Mom. You know, I understand. You know, and the mother said very strictly, no, I'm very sorry. And she's like, it's okay. It's okay. And then the mother said, no, it's not okay. She said, I abused you, and now you're enabling it. So then finally the lady said, I accept that, yes, you did abuse me, and it's not okay. And the mother said, that's what I wanted to hear, because I was wrong, and it should never have happened. And then she left, and then other loved ones came through, and the reading continued. And it was just so strong, that piece of information, that it was very personal, and it really shows that they had a different perspective on the inside.
Yeah.
How to treat each other. So, you know, I thought that was very, very interesting. Those are two of my favorites.
Wow, no kidding. What an interesting line of work, and amazing how you can change somebody's life. That, like you say, it's that piece of information that can make such a big, big difference. And Joe mentioned it. He's written several books, actually. Hello, Anyone Home? A guide on how our deceased loved ones try to connect to us through the use of signs. And the latest one is Always Connected for Veterans. Deceased vets give guidance from the other side, too, as well. Joe, thanks so much, Joe Higgins, for coming on. Look for those signs, everybody. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks so much for Kate for having me on. If anyone wants any information, just go to joehiggins.com.
Thanks, Joey.
Pale blue colored eyes present the sun with the glory of two eyes.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy viruses. byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
It's time to get real.
It's time to prepare.
Economic collapse,
social unrest,
natural disasters,
government takeover,
UN takeover.
Are you ready?
Ready?
Ready? Get ready at the Social Prepper Trade Show in Dalton, Georgia,
June 6th, 7th, and 8th.
3 massive days to learn self-reliance and emergency preparedness. Exhibitors ranging from survival, solar, power, food, protection, guns, ammo, disaster preparation products, hunting, and much more. Seminars by Dr. Wallach, Robert Henry, Raymond Blake Hogshead, Trish Deer, Sandy Hall, Rick Austin, Survivor Jane, and more of our nation's experts on survival and preparedness.
Don't miss the Social Prepper Trade Show,
June 6th through 8th, Dalton, Georgia. For discount tickets, prize raffle, and info, go to socialprepper.com.
Enter code GCN for 50% online ticket discount purchase.
The Social Prepper Trade Show,
presented in part by GCN.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. How you doing, America? Hopefully you're doing well. Go see Iron Man 3 if you want a few laughs, because, you know, the good guys win in the end. So I'm not giving anything away. Let's put it that way. We have a Daily Salute coming up, and you're going to love the Daily Salute. In fact, it puts us all to shame. Puts us all to shame athletically, and when we whine and complain about why we can't do this and why we can't do that. But hold on, before we go there, let's give you some of the negative stuff. The Boston explosions, now that we're a little bit further away from it, and as I said, like in any tragedy, we've talked about this a ton on America Tonight, everybody rallies around and, oh, we want to do whatever we can to help you. We're Americans, and that's great. And people are chipping in, and they're giving money, and it's over $30 million in the one fund and all that stuff. But then the reality sets in for the people who were healthy, who were good looking because they busted their hump to get in shape to run in a race. And now they don't have one leg or they don't have two legs. And they have to go through that process of retraining, the physical therapy, which is grueling, the learning the phantom limb thing in their brain and then having an artificial limb, all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, the tragedy of the people, the four people really, that were killed in what happened with the Boston Marathon explosions. And we'll see if Jokar Tsarnaev gets his, which I think he will when he gets his day in court. And of course, the brother with the body that nobody wants was such a big part of the story. Mysteriously embalmed out of the door somewhere, who knows where. There was a woman that stepped forward who said she wanted to give up her space at Arlington National Cemetery just to get rid of this whole controversy and all of that. And she was just willing to say, go ahead, take it. I'm hoping that's not the case, that that's not where he is. I doubt it, because I think the protests would be massive. So after, especially after they had their own problems with scandals of people in the wrong sites and all that kind of stuff. If you've ever been to Arlington National Cemetery, if it doesn't give you goosebumps, you're like not American. I'm serious. It's an amazing sight to see. And when you think of all the lives that were lost, and they're lost but not forgotten. So I hope with the Boston situation, we don't forget. It's like living in New Jersey and New York after 9/11, that was what you would see in the back of trucks stenciled on. We will never forget. We will never forget. And the further that you get away from that, the more people tend to forget, unless their family was directly impacted. Somebody was killed in the family. So I hope with Boston that we keep it up, that we keep diligent, that we look around, that we try to watch in crowds, and we have each other's backs and all that kind of stuff as much as you possibly can. To that end, here's what Congressman McCall said today, Republican from Texas, on the Boston explosions.
My fear is that the Boston bombers may have succeeded because our system failed. We can and we must do better.
And I agree. We can and we must do better. But what are the things that we have to do better? The one thing that we will not do or will not admit to doing in this country is profiling. Everybody always points to Israel. Israel's so safe. Oh, El Al, getting on that airplane, it's safe, you're not worried about that, Well, the way of life in Israel is different because they profile. They profile everyone. I've talked about this before. I have absolutely been profiled when I've been to other countries and pulled aside, whether it's the journalism thing or why are you in the country, going to Guayaquil, Ecuador, where, you know, kind of dicey in one way and not in another. But absolutely questioned, absolutely pulled out of line, absolutely gone through things backwards and forwards. So some of the things that need to be done, we won't cop to doing. And then when something is definitely tied to somebody being radicalized and in the Islam faith, the jihadist, whatever, they become a jihadist, and it starts with a seed at some mosque somewhere, why we cannot point to that and admit it, I don't understand. There are good people, there are bad people all over the place, right? So can't we point out the bad people? Can't we not ignore the signs that were right in our faces? I mean, come on, give me a break. All right, I want to move on to the Daily Salute. The Daily Salute, this story, I hope you are not tuning me off right now, because this story is worth listening to this show for. This story is incredible. Somebody sent me a tip about this, and I think now more people are probably picking it up, because it's been a day or two. It's been a little bit. But this, when you think about somebody who's got to deal with a hardship, like I was talking about the people in the bomb who were part of the Boston Marathon waiting for people to come in, and they were right there where the two blasts went off the pressure cookers, and they're missing limbs, and they have to like change their way of thinking. Imagine this. There is Aria Altmuller, who started pole vaulting about 6 weeks ago. So, okay, so 17 years old in Chandler, Arizona. That's where she's from. She goes to Valley Christian High School. She's a junior. Well, here's the thing about this girl. She was born completely blind. Completely blind. She has optic nerve hypoxia, I think is what they call it. And basically what that condition is the nerves don't develop, and she was born without sight. She gained a little bit of vision, but not really. So her visual acuity, if you were to measure, is like 2200. It's legal blindness. And she's lost half of what she gained by eighth grade, and she sees it 2,400, if you can imagine that. At night, she can't see at all, and overcast days, she can't see. She has no peripheral vision, depth perception, can't see facial expressions. She relies on shapes and other senses to get her around and requires some special academic arrangements. But you heard what I said about pole vaulting. So check this out. She doesn't care. She's not letting it hold her back. She's not shying away from her athletic ambitions. And she said, my motto has been, I can't be afraid of what I can't see. She did it in gymnastics. She cleared every event. She couldn't see the beam. She was on the beam. She did horse jumping and cheerleading and was ahead of half of the crowd and figured it out. So now she's doing that with pole vaulting. And she's got some serious skills and chutzpah. This girl has chutzpah for sure. So here's what I would say. Does she not deserve the daily salute? Can we not give her a hand for her accomplishments? Yeah, I agree. Hey, glue. Nathan Reeder, the glue of the show. Could you, can you even pole vault? Do you think you could even do it?
Maybe.
I'm a definite maybe.
Yeah, definitely a dream type of situation. We'll start with that one.
Yeah, so this girl, when she's trying to clear or pitch a land, she counts the steps in her approach to the jump. That's how she figures it out. And from that, knows when to plant the pole. She lands in the box about 14 out of 15 attempts. That's an incredible gift. She's so accurate, time after time after time.
Wow.
It is a wow. See, you know, she can't see. She can't. I would be scared to death. I'm scared to death already to see if I could even pole vault. And when I was her age, I wouldn't. There's no way I would try it. Even the hurdles were brutal for me. So this is a girl that's really blind, pretty much blind, and that's amazing. And she's really done well. She is good enough to qualify for state. So she keeps going, and they have a feeling that she's got a good chance in this competition to really clear the bar, if you will. And she is head and shoulders, I'll tell you what, a courageous kid that's very, very inspiring and worthy of a salute or two.
Mother's Day is this Sunday, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing last-minute deal. 1 dozen assorted roses plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. That's 1 dozen beautiful assorted roses, absolutely bursting with color, sent fresh from the fields, and guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days for only $19.99 plus a free glass vase. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. Go to proflowers.com, click on the radio microphone, and enter the secret code MOM20. Plus, for a very limited time, ProFlowers has an even sweeter deal for you. Order now and you can double your roses. That's right, double your roses and get free chocolates for just $10 more. Remember, Mother's Day is this Sunday, and this incredible last-minute deal expires this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to proflowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code MOM20.